All right, everybody, welcome to the Rocket X podcast. I'm your host, Victor Randcore. As you guys know, like, subscribe, follow. We don't take any sponsorships on this podcast. It allows me to keep pushing forward, allows me to keep adding more people and bringing more guests on, helping you bring more value. Today, I got an exciting guest, Mr. Dave Carroll. He's the CEO of Dope Marketing. He's one of my good friends. He's a entrepreneur, hustler, always trying to help contractors get better, make more money, and advance in the industry. So, Dave, man, thank you to the podcast.
Running the podcast.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
So, you know, I brought you on for a reason, right? And just so you know, cost per lead has gone insane. And I know we talk all the time. And, you know, one of the things that we do in my business is use Dope to help push business when you know, PPC is $200 a click, $300 a click. We got to kind of start thinking old school, man. That's something I want to talk about on this podcast. We're really going to talk about guerrilla marketing, things that these little guys can do to compete with the big boys, ways to start owning your neighborhood, right? So a lot of people are like, they want to market fucking 10 mile or 50 miles wide. How do we start owning our neighborhood? How to start dominating our local area? So Dave is the man to do that. He's got a lot of data-driven statistics we're going to talk about and things along those lines. But Dave, man, let's introduce you to the audience. Let them know who you are, what you do, and then we'll go from there.
So my name is Dave Carroll, founder of a little company called Dope Marketing. Dope, outside of it being a cool name, stands for Data on Previous Engagement. We help companies in the home service space truly make data-driven decisions. Nothing wrong with shotgun marketing or trying to get in front of people, but when we go into a year like 2024, it's a lot more about blocking than it is tackling this year. Not that we're not growing, but when you truly look at like what neighborhoods are you trying to be in, who are you trying to get in front of? There's a stat that like 3 to 7% of your target customer is literally looking for you right now. The other 93 to 97%, like that's why you open your business. It's your job to get in front of those people. And so when I started Dope, it was because direct mail was just really hard. If you would have told me, you know, 3-4 years ago, I'd own a print shop. You might have heard me say this before. I'd tell you you're crazy. That wasn't the plan. We built a software that allows you to send postcards, handwritten notes, and gift boxes at no minimum order, either by picking a list and targeting it or by connecting with your CRM, whichever you choose. What we really, really try to focus on going into a year like 2024 is looking at what you did well in your business last year, taking that and creating what we call a data model and helping you get more touches in the right neighborhoods. Like, it's so easy to understand, you know, in the home service space, we all want to get in front of homeowners. You know, it's a 35 to 60-year-old homeowner is the base target for anyone. But when you truly look at like getting your messaging and your offers, I know we're going to dive deep into some cool offers and some stuff we've been testing recently.
I'm going to talk a little bit, Dave, too. And you know, I when I started my business, you know, mailers was actually one of my key forms of marketing. And I had to do that shit myself. So I created the flyers. I created the mailers myself. I went down to the print shop, got them printed. I did the EDDM things. I had to go physically drop them off at the mail, at the UPS or whatever it was. I still remember, like, we'd have piles of fucking mailers in my office and we have to go physically go drop them off into different areas or whatever it was so we can get them delivered. So I get it. And by the way, if you are listening, I do have a badass mailer that we sent out when I started that works like crazy. We still use it to today. If you guys are interested, you guys can DM me. I'll send you over what it looks like. It's actually pretty dope. I don't know anybody else that's doing it, but I might send it to you, Dave, if you're lucky, so you can share it with your clients. But obviously mailing is difficult, right? And obviously knowing who to mail to is difficult as well. And I know that's something that you guys are really good with on the software side. You want to talk a little bit about how you're able to kind of like really micro target the people you want to get to?
So like historically, you know, I always joke like the print industry or the direct mail industry is run by like 70-year-old fat guys who suck at golf whose kids don't want to work for them. When you go to a direct mail company now, they're going to give you some strategy from 1985, from the year I was born. And as technology has advanced, there's just a better way to do this stuff. So what we really, really focus in on Dope, one of our core strategies, is called Brick by Brick. It automatically sends 25 postcards to the neighbors of your current job when you change a status in ServiceTitan, HouseCall, Sarah, whatever CRM you're using, HubSpot, Go High Level, whatever. The neighbors of your current jobs are 10 times more likely to hire you than someone else on the other side of town. So being able to automatically have mailer goes off. Vic, you talk about how hard it is dealing with the design, dealing with the list, dealing with the printing, dealing with the mail call. Like, it's a full-time job. At Dope, we've taken that off your plate so that when you just mark a job approved at 123 Main Street, every week for 4 weeks in a row, the nearest 25 neighbors are going to get a card. Hey, we just helped your neighbor out with a maintenance plan. Check out a recent project. Meet our team. Here's a review. We have templates, strategies, tracking, everything dialed in. So it's like, you guys are busy running your business. You don't need to hire someone to do direct mail. That's what we do at Dope, and really dial that shit in with the strategies and the data that we propose.
And I mean, I don't think people understand, like, you know, really, if you really look at it, right, like how important that is, bro. Like for me, like if you actually looked at, and if I looked at my business, right, and I looked at my top zip codes, I would say 85% of my revenue came from those top three zip codes, and everything else trickled down from there, right? And so many times we're looking at like, hey, how do I put a big ass fish net out, right? Sometimes you want to be strategic with it, right? We want to go fly fishing in one area where we know we can catch some fish. And I think that's kind of what allows you to do when you really start owning that market is really you're going fly fishing. You're just catching right there, but boom, you're slapping it right in the face over and over, and eventually you're going to catch those fish. And also, what does it do, right? So if I'm shotgunning mailers all over town, I'm shotgunning Google and all this other shit, whale or radio ads all over the place, what happens to your business? You get too spread out. Windshield time goes up, right? Profit margins go down, right? So for me, when I had my business, like if I would have just focused in my one little area, I could have grown the same size business, right, with way more profitability. But what I did when I started, because I didn't know how to get leads, I was just like fucking go everywhere and anywhere, right? And by the time 4.5 years in goes, I had guys going from fucking Santa Clarita to Indio, which is like 5 hour difference in one day windshield time, right? I had that at some point because I had no other option because I had to take care of my customers. But I got so wide. And one thing that I talk to my clients about right now, right, is an inch wide, mile deep, right? How do we stay in that area and dominate that area? And that's what these mailers are allowing you to do. It's really allowing you to own neighborhoods. You know, if you're a small contractor, you're not going to own a city. You could own a neighborhood. You could dominate a neighborhood. You want to talk a little bit about an inch wide, mile deep? You know,
so my boy Joseph Hughes is big in the roofing space. He trains companies how to like do some of this stuff on their own. He got this. It's an older book, but I give Joseph the credit because he talks about this a lot. It's called 5 Mile Famous. You want to look at the data in your business, and there's a very simple exercise. If you go into your CRM and just download every single invoice that was paid, every completed job last year, you put that in a spreadsheet, you highlight the whole spreadsheet, and you sort it by zip code. This will give you those top three zip codes of truly being able to say X marks this, so you can take 70% of your marketing budget and allocated in those three zip codes and not create the problems that you saw when you were scaling your business where you get super, super wide. When you can truly look at the neighborhoods you're currently working in, you know, it's one thing to be like, humans are predictable creatures. We like to live around places that we're comfortable or people that we hang out with or that are living same or similar lifestyles. But dude, it goes deeper than that. When you can truly identify a neighborhood and say, these houses were built around the same year, of the same material by 3 to 5 of the same builders in the area, they're having the same things go wrong. The things that they're maintaining at those homes, the system's going out, the maintenance plan is needed. They see a truck in someone else's driveway and just remember they got to keep up with the Joneses. When you look at the touches that are required to get a cold consumer to remember a brand, and again, I'm a broken record with this shit, it takes 7 to 11 touches for a cold consumer to remember a brand. The average local home service company is only getting 2 to 4 touches on their ideal customer. So when you look at like truly dialing in, you don't need to go find a new area on the other side of town or do some shotgun marketing approach. If you simply look at the data in your business for last year and you're setting up campaigns, the SBA released a stat at the beginning of this year. A business that's doing $1 million a year should be spending 7 to 8% of their gross revenue on marketing. Conservative is 4%, right in the middle is 7%, and then aggressive is like 10%+. When you look at those top three zip codes doing that exercise that you were talking about, Vic, it's like, dude, 70% of your marketing budget could be spent only in those zip codes, and you would grow more strategically than anything else that you're doing right now in your business.
And circle back, if you are my client, it's 6 to 8%. You go over that, it might slap you, just so you know. I try to, obviously, if your marketing spend getting that high, it's usually because your conversion sucks. But anyways, we'll talk about that. And we also do want to talk about, right, like the people that have already done business with you, the people that are in that area are more likely to spend, you know, as much or more money. Or like, hey, if I go to that neighborhood, I said, well, we did this for Joe, Mr., for Dave down the street. This is the system that we did. Far more likely to do it. Or imagine, you know, if you got your guys in the same neighborhood all the time, they already know the layout of the home. They already know how to do that job. It's not like you're, you know, they're doing some random shit every day. Like, hey, I've already worked on this house. I've already done it. And even that becomes more predictable, right? And these are things that, you know, I talk about, but we also, there's other ways, obviously, to guerrilla market, right? Like, obviously, you want to get yourself out there. I know one thing that I used to do when I started my business, and I would get yard signs, right? So I'd buy like 1,000 yard signs at a time, and I would just blitz a neighborhood. Me and my friends, we put them like everywhere, dude. And that shit works. And people would be surprised. Like every time ever stopped at a light, and I see like a fucking, I'll buy your house for cash with a yard sign. I read that shit.
Every time
you're like, I don't have a house for cash, but I don't have a house for sale, but I've read it anyways. And this happens. It's just repetitive.
It's called the yard sign playbook. We do it every year with different strategies. What people don't realize is like those yard signs are tiny little billboards, dude. For my power washing company that I've owned for 14 years, we put out like 200 signs a week, and I'm doing it like the freeway exits when you get off in those zip codes around those good neighborhoods. Not just one sign, but you know those stoplights that get backed up that you have to sit through two of them sometimes if you don't catch them? You put one way back and another one closer to the stoplight in those parking lots, you know, where you have like the Whole Foods, the Home Depot, like the common areas when you're driving around inside of the parking lot. Dude, no one is pulling those signs. When you have in Target, Whole Foods, some of the higher end spots around town, the Pilates studio, the daycares. Dude, I get screenshots and messages from buddies of mine that own local companies. They're like, dude, I saw your power washing yard sign coming out of my kid's daycare. Like, yeah, dude, I'm sure you live in one of the four neighborhoods in town where we want that. When you look at that like strategic placement of the sign, dude, it's great to put a sign in the front yard of the job that you did so people see it. That's all good and great. But like, there are strategic spots where you can look at placing signs around town. Again, it's aggressive. It's guerrilla. I've been to jail before. I've never been to jail for putting out a yard sign. So the whole like, you're going to gross misdemeanor. You're going to get fined. You're going to, dude, forgiveness before permission with all that shit.
Well, even then, it's like, I think that there's so many contractors that got so used to just going, hey, spend more money on digital and leads will come in, that they just got fucking lazy, man. And I'm betting right now that people are already listening to this podcast and are like, I used to do that. I used to do that too. I used to do that. And they're saying this, but they don't fucking do it anymore. And a lot of times what happens is as you get bigger or you start getting more revenue, you want to eat the easy shit, right? Like for me, like I used to go to every BNI meeting. I put fucking flyers on pizza boxes. Like I've done all kinds of guerrilla marketing shit that was like smart. And then I noticed 2 years in, I stopped doing it. But then I started, as soon as I realized it again, that I'm not doing that. Let's try to get back to what we used to do. All of a sudden it started growing again, right? It started more of a grassroots thing. So that's definitely important, but also knowing the neighborhood you're marketing to, right? Like I don't want to market to a neighborhood that's got a fucking five-year-old neighborhood, really. I want to market to the neighborhood that's 25, 30, 40, 50 years old, right? Because those are going to have higher opportunities. Like I had one area it's called Los Alamitos, and I used to dominate that area because it was Rossmore, a specific cutout in this city. They all had $1.2 million or above the homes. Everybody's got income. The houses are built before 1970, so they got asbestos ducting. So I know there's always going to be an issue with them. And these are the houses I would target, and we owned that neighborhood. Like we were probably doing two or three installs a week in that neighborhood. And guess what? When we went to those calls, my guys were fighting for those leads because they knew that there was going to be opportunity there. A 50-year-old house, that means over 50 years, there's probably a lot of different families that lived in there. They've all fucking Mickey Mouse that shit along the way. And now eventually the guy that owns it gets left with the bag. And now we got to fix all their issues. So let's talk a little bit of how you guys actually target, you know, obviously age of homes, obviously income. Like you're not trying to target fucking rental properties, things like that. You want to talk about the technology.
Yeah, dude. So one of the things I learned from you right when we first met, I caught one of your courses on your like foot in the door, the $79 maintenance plan or whatever. So one of the things that I love about the HVAC electric plan, so you look at the size of a home. Everyone wants to talk about income. How much money does someone make? Can they afford my services? Oh, dude, as long as they can afford the home, that's all that matters. So when you think about targeting all this like age of the homeowner, how much income do they make? How many kids do they have? Do they have a dog? You can get deep like that. But more than anything, what I want to know, especially in these industries, what is the value of the home? How many square feet is the home? Because to your $79 tune-up plan, dude, if you drop the cost of your maintenance plan or your repair plan in an offer and you only target homes over 15 years old that are over 4,000 square feet, what do we know about a home over 4,000 square feet and under 4,000 square feet?
Well, it's going to have multiple sisters and they got a lot of cash.
And we know that we don't want the homes that are 5 years old over 5,000 square feet because nothing's fucking went wrong yet. But the guy that got left with the bag that has the house built in the early 90s, the late 90s, the early 2000s, like all of that stuff, there's still these big, beautiful custom homes. But if you can use an offer to get your foot in the door around a tune-up, a duct cleaning, just something under $100, so they say, yes, I need that. We know your technicians can sell. We know you're using RP1 to do your follow-ups or your texting and your automated all everything. But like, you're not using a shotgun approach to say, I'm going to hit thousands of people and hope that the good ones come in. You're only going to focus your messaging and your marketing dollars on the homes that are more likely to have a higher ticket, which one really easy strategy, 15 years old, over 4,000 square feet. I want to see a tiny little billboard, a postcard in the mailboxes of those homes every week, if not every other week, for the entire season these things are going through. You're working in the area. They saw your truck. They saw your guy at the gas station in their hoodie or their uniform. They saw the door hanger. They saw the Facebook ad, like all these different things where it's like,
well, let's talk about that a little bit too. Like, you know, even your marketing on, like, say you're seeing on social media ads, like you can geofence these neighborhoods so you can take your Facebook ads, you geofence those neighborhoods, and we literally advertise the same ad that you're putting in their mailer with the same offer, everything. And it all transfers. They're just going to get repeated, and they don't even realize where they found you. So a lot of times people are like, well, I saw you on TV. I'm like, I've never ran a TV ad ever. Right. So now I got social media surrounding them. They're hitting with the postcard. And keep in mind, like, postcards are one of those things that, you know, people, a lot of times they're not like, hey, boom, they're going to call right away. They take that postcard and they set it aside, right? They set it aside. They put it in the drawer. And people are like, well, they didn't call today. These mailers didn't work. I'm like, dude, it's usually 60, 90 days, sometimes 120 days before you start seeing the return of what you spent 120 days ago. Right. Because then also it's going to start trickling in. But it's one of those things where you have to keep feeding it. It's a constant feeder. It can't just be like, I sent out mailers one time and it didn't work. This is not how it works.
Dude, we saw this. It was actually a leadership meeting I was in this morning with our design team. We created this campaign for a plumber that was like, save this card for when your toilet's clogged. You might not need it now, but you're giving them a reason to hang on to something. You hear people say like, oh, I put that in my drawer or I put it away. It goes back to that stat. Only 3-7% of your target customer is looking for you right now. But how are you using the data in your business to stay focused on the people that are more likely to convert? Give them something and educate. You might not have this problem now, but hang on to it. So something that we're rolling out already going into this month.
Well,
we come
to the most,
Victor,
the most,
what is an offer that you would let a customer claim at any time that would never expire? You, dude, drop that thing you told me yesterday with the lead. Dude, this was killer.
Okay, so, you know, obviously at RP1, we're always trying to figure out a way to reactivate our customers. How do we get in front of them? And I was sitting there and I'm trying to think, like, it's actually, I was at my own house. I'm at my house, I'm looking at my electrical panel, and I was trying to figure out what's powered what, because I got a new surround sound that's going where I'm at in my basement right now. And I'm trying to figure out what is what, and I couldn't figure it out. And then it clicked to me, like, dude, how can I get my electrician in the house? Well, dude, everybody you could ever think of, like, if you ever own a home, your panel isn't labeled, right? If you have an old panel in your house, you don't know what goes to where. So we started running electrical panel offering. So it's like $199 or $299 will come out and label your electrical panel. So it actually gives you access to every single electric outlet in the house, the entire home. You get to check the entire panel, and it's actually working. So we're actually starting to get lead after lead after lead for electrical companies just to do electrical panel labeling. Now they're going out there. Most of the time, if the panel isn't labeled, it's an old panel, right? And then at that point, you just have to teach your guys a process to upsell. But yeah, I had an electrician, literally he's done more revenue since we launched that in the last 3 weeks than he did the entire year.
So, dude, I was thinking about this yesterday. So, like, one, that's fucking brilliant. And I'm like, how can we take this even further? So, you know, dope, we do that new home buyer feed. You can give us zip codes in your area or a radius. We can put a mailer in the mailbox every single week of the people that bought a home over a certain amount. If that's the offer, changes.
Yeah.
Who knows about their electrical panel when you just bought a home? Like, we just bought our home back in November. I look at the electrical panel, and it's in fucking Chinese. Like, I can't read any of it. I don't know.
Someone told me today, told they'd come out for $299 to do that. I'd be like, boom, come out today. Let's do this.
Now, today, right now.
Yeah.
And now it opens up the door of your whole checklist, anything else you can service. Because that's another thing, dude. When you start thinking about, like, what you're paying for a lead, we were talking yesterday and even a little bit today, I'm like, fair to say that everyone watching this live replay, whatever, the cost of a Google lead has gone up dramatically over the past 2 years. Well, it's because it got so easy. Vic, you were talking about this earlier. I could stop doing all the shit that I had to spend time on, my most valuable currency, Because I could just plug $20K a month into Google and it all came in until everyone realized how easy that was. Now it got more saturated. So when you go to that targeting and you look at dialing something in, your cost per lead, something that I don't think a lot of business owners are looking at, it's not, I spent $4,000 on this campaign. I made back $3,300. That was a loss. What's the lifetime value of that customer? How many times are you able to service them, to use RP1 to follow up with them, to stay in touch, to ask them for reviews, referrals? Like, that lead is so much more valuable. And now, dude, any home service company could tell you last year, the year before, 5 years ago, what's your number one lead source? It's Google. Like, I can target an area, I can get these leads coming in. Now it's like, when you go to that concept of the 5 mile famous, and instead of paying 4 times more for a Google ad than you were last year, taking those dollars and getting more touches in those neighborhoods that you're working in, it's a no-brainer.
Well, you have to understand, like, most contractors, they don't do anything with their database. They don't leave a follow-up. And I think one of the biggest things that, you know, I talk to my clients about all the time is actually understanding your data and actually collecting it. So, like, I talk when I owned my business, or when I owned Absolute, I would tell my technicians, like, I'm paying you to go collect data for me. I need every piece of data. I need to know the water heater age. I need to know the AC age, the furnace age. I need to know what the ductwork looks like. I'm like, that's part of your job. So when they like left and they didn't do their checklist, I said, well, I'm sending you back there to do the damn checklist, because the data matters to me more than that call. That first time, I need to know how to actually micro-target my customers. Hey, if I know they got bad ductwork, I'm going to send them a text message, emails, mailers from ductwork. Hey, if they have bad furnace, I'm going to hit them with furnace stuff. They have a bad AC, a bad water heater. If I know this stuff, I can really get micro-targeting with my marketing, because marketing is one of your biggest expenses every fucking month. How do I make sure that my marketing matters? My marketing's hitting the right people. Hey, if we offered them an air scrubber freaking every freaking time we went out there, I'm probably going to hit them a text offer for an air scrubber. Say, hey, we have a spring freaking fresh air special. Or we're going to hit them with a postcard. We have a spring fresh air special. We have an air scrubber that's a whole house purifier for this much, right? And these are things that most contractors don't pay attention to, especially the small guys. They can't figure out why it can't grow. They're chasing new money. They're not paying attention to the stuff that they already had. They're not following a damn process. Like, if you don't have a process on every single call you go to, I have a process for how I run a tune-up. I have a process for how I run a warranty call. I have a process for how I run an estimate. I have a process for how I run a no-charge estimate from a radio ad. Like, I literally target it down to, I teach my guys, like, every lead source is different. A mailing lead is different than a Facebook. There's just things you have to understand and learn. And these are like what makes people professional. These are what makes businesses grow. Some businesses grow and some don't. Well, it comes down to you as the owner getting really granular for what you want, how you do business, how we market. You want to talk a little bit about how, like, you know, obviously the service side integration, these other ones, how like having that data is a weapon.
So when you look at, like, you know, any marketing campaign, what's my ROI? We were talking about this last week, just going into a new quarter. How do we continue to better serve our customers? And it hit me, Vic. It was like, okay, it's one thing if we can show you market it, however you did it, right? Take dope out of it. Any company, you ran ads, you ran Google, you knocked door, you did whatever, and jobs came in versus off what you spent. That's your ROI. What about the ROI of, like, you have a certain amount of customers in your database right now. Use an even number. Let's say you have 5,000 customers in your database over the past X amount of years. What if you tracked every month how many new customers were added to your database and how long did it take to turn them into a job? So now every month, regardless if you're doing database reactivation, prospecting higher end neighborhoods, the new home buyer feed, these houses over 4,000 square feet, over 15 years old, whatever, if you can look every month and say, here is a list of people we were marketing to, out of this cold list, here's how many turned into a lead in my CRM, but then you're tracking this and you're actually seeing, how do we turn these people into a job and how do we track that job? How long does it take from showing them a marketing message to truly, truly tracking them and getting into how we can actually turn them into a prospect? And what, like, how long does it take? It's turning your brain on to a different form of tracking, because it's not just, I spent $1,000. What did I make off that $1,000 in this short amount of time? I always ask business owners, do you plan on selling your business tomorrow? Like, is that your goal? Because if not, you're in growth mode. If you can make to those systems you're talking about, Vic, like, predictable growth. I put a list together of 1,000 customers that are not in my database. over the course of 90 days, I got 100 of them to inquire about my services. And after that 90 days, this many turned into a job. It's the boring part of business that makes us successful, creating systems that are truly rinse, wash, and repeat. And how do you do that? You get your top zip codes. You look at your marketing dollars and your touches in those neighborhoods. You put on your checklist for your technicians or your follow-up systems. How many times can we touch these customers to get them into our CRM? And simply, how many new addresses did we add to our database this month? And how does that work month over month?
Well, we're also about to get into our busy season for HVAC. And I talk to people all the time about this. And people call in. Obviously, most of these companies are not big enough. You can't take every call, right? But one of the things that we always did in my business is that we got the name, email, phone number, address, all that stuff up front before we ever let the customer know that we're too busy, right? And the reason we did that is because we want to take every call that comes in is a lead. I paid for it. I want to get them into my database, whether they do business with us or not, they are going to be in my database because I want to build it, right? So during the summer, I might get 200, 300 calls a day. All 300 of those end up in my database. We only ran 50 of them, right? We only were able to get the 50 calls. 250 were lost. Well, guess what? 6 months from now, they will forget what company ever came out to their house. They don't know who the fuck came in summer. They don't know you from Adam, right? So now 6 months from now, I go hit them up for a furnace tune-up, right? They never did this unless they think we're the company that we came out in the summer. We hit them up, we go to the furnace tune-up. Guess what? They already had a broken AC. We couldn't get out to the summer. Now the furnace is fucked up too. And we end up selling those customers. And we would track that, how many of those people were never actually calls at random. We turn into new business. And people don't look at this stuff. They just think like, oh, I can't get to it. They just head up. Most contractors don't even. They just go. They realize the little stuff they're missing out on. Like I had a call yesterday. I was talking to a guy and he's a concrete guy, right? He's doing about $1 million a year in concrete. And I'm like looking at his business and he's like, yeah, I missed 3 phone calls since I've been on this call. And I was like, so why don't you just hire someone to answer your phones? He's like, well, I don't know. That's going to cost you much money. I was like, how much money are you losing? And then I talked to him. He's like, yeah, well, look at my schedule. I got 9-10 calls a day from my sales guys. I'm like, okay, so you should probably go hire another sales guy, right? Like what's, I'm just trying to understand what's going on. So you're letting 50% of your calls get lost on the front end. And then you're trying to have a guy run 9 calls a day when he's running all over town. What can he really do? I said, you got a $3-5 million business today if you change a couple of things. Like what's your booking rate? What's your closing percentage? I don't know. So these are things that like, you know, they're very granular, but the contractors don't want to take the time to learn. They don't want to take the time to think about data or how do I do it? This is how the winners win, how the fucking losers keep begging for help, right? If you actually listen to everything that me and Dave said on this call, we probably make you a couple extra $1 million this year. That's the reality. But most of you guys won't implement shit. You'll listen to this and you'll go, oh, I'm going to do that. And you're going to do nothing.
It's just getting out of the rat race. Like so many of us, whatever background you come from, silver spoon, coming from the hood, anywhere in between, it's like, we're just so used to the grind. And a lot of the times that go, go, go mentality, like a lot of us have leveled out of that in our business, but we haven't leveled out of the mentality of that like reactive go, go, go. And if you take a step back and you just say like, what is my actual capacity? How many jobs can I actually do a day? And I have these leads coming in. How do I qualify to just fill my calendar with the right leads of the right customer that we actually want to work with? But it's so easy, especially this time of year in the spring. I don't know, California, you're not getting a lot of snow, but like it's April 2nd. We're getting snow in Minnesota today. We haven't snow like all year. Looking at the jobs that are coming in and filling your calendar with the right work, you got to understand your capacity. How many crews do you have out? How many jobs can you do? How many calls are you not answering? And what processes can you implement to catch, to reactivate, and to spend time on the right people? Because that's where the growth happens.
Well, this time of year, I always say, light your business on fire to see how it's going to react in the summer, right? Like this is the time you should be implementing new processes. This time you should be actually fine tuning those little things. And I always say, take 3 things at a time, get those 3 things done, then move on to the next ones. And we really got to start putting some of these things in place. But even then, like, you know, I have customers that, you know, obviously on RP1, like I'm taking their customer days. They can't get a lead on the board. They can't get a lead from Google. They can't get a lead from Facebook. Nothing's working. But I take those customers in my database, and the first thing we do at RP1 is we scrub the data, right? So we got to get the data scrubbed. We want to get rid of, you know, DNC shit, you know, disconnected phone line, out of service area. Then we get granular, say, okay, what areas do you want to service certain time? Like, hey, what area do you really want to service? Hey, let's look at the map. We'll actually go in and look, hey, this is your number one zip code. Let's take all the numbers from this zip code, and we're actually going to start targeting them in RP1. And we're going to go after those calls, because then we can run more tune-ups per day, more calls per day. We can, those people are more than likely going to buy from us because they've seen us before, right? So we have to get, we get granular with it for these companies, but some of them are like, I'd have never looked at it like that before. And I'm like, dude, you have a gold mine. I had a guy yesterday at 5,000 people in his database. Every 2,000 people in your database is $1 million a year just from the database. Okay. So every 2,000, 1 million. So if you got 6,000 in your database, you got $3 million just sitting there without ever spending another penny. That's just statistics. Okay. And now if I could turn that into money, what would happen to your business if you can cut your Google spend in half or whatever it is? Right? You don't have to go after new customers. And this is the power of data. This is the power of understanding business, understanding customers, and understanding how to really use those, really use that data. So, you know, Dave, obviously, you know, we can go on and on all day about data and all this other stuff. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I really wanted, like, really wanted to get on here before, like, obviously you've been doing this a long time. And I always ask a lot of my guests, like, what is the one thing that if you were to go back 5 years ago and tell yourself, what was one thing that you would done different running your business? Obviously, you had the pressure washing business. You've had other businesses in the past. What's like one thing you would do if you went back 5 years? So what would you do differently than you are?
Understanding that, like, I can't help other people till I can help myself. And just some of the, you know, I don't mean to get on too much like hippie shit here, but like, when I really started looking at, you know, focusing my time on being a better manager, on being a better owner, it's one thing to grow your business. It's another thing to grow as a person. And I think, like a lot of us, I was very guilty of just being caught in the hustle, the grind, the race, the all of it. But dude, like the simple shit that you can do during the day, and again, I won't go on the tangent about the cold plunges and saunas and IVs, just whatever, but like really dialing in and figuring out like, what time do you have to take for yourself during the day to get you right? Especially as your business is growing and you have all these different people during the day that like their one interaction with you will make their whole day or not. If you're being a reactive jerk asshole, letting everything affect you. One thing that really helped me that I'm not a big guy on regrets, but if I could rewind anything, it would just be like taking that time for myself in the morning to prepare myself for the day and all the people that depend on me. Cause dude, I'm as guilty of it as anyone of being all over the place, running, gunning, chasing squirrels, like all that shit. But when I truly like just started waking up an hour earlier and doing my fitness, my wellness, like that type of stuff, as cliche as it sounds, dude, I could go 3-4 days and break my routine and I'm just not operating the same during the day. And when I started, you know, paying the money to get the masterminds and the rooms around the people that have, you know, achieved what my definition of success is, where it's like, they're all just doing the same shit. There's health, wellness, self-care. And I didn't get on this stuff till about 2 years ago. And when I look back, or the things that I want to talk to my kids about or other people in business that I communicate with is just like, a lot of times we're not giving ourselves enough time to prepare for the day and get ready for the people that depend on us because like we just don't realize the responsibility we took on sometimes. So just more of a focus on understanding what makes me tick so I can deal with that shit to prepare myself in the world for what I get out and get after it every day.
And that's powerful, man. And obviously I got really bad ADD, just similar, looks like you do too. Obviously you can see it through the screen, right? But it's the same thing with me, man. Like when I'm on my best, I have a routine, I get myself going and I'm one to get caught up really easy. Like I mean, people know me, I'm fucking wild, man. I spent over $1 million in the last probably year just partying. Like I'm a fucking wild man. Like, and that's something I'm like, I have to control. And I'm starting to learn me and learn how to like, because I live in my ego a lot of times. And it's like, dude, when you stop trying to care about other things and everything else going on around you, it allows you to, you know, be yourself. And like when I'm myself and I'm working out and I'm running and all that shit and making sure that I'm eating good, not drinking, when I'm doing that stuff, dude, I'm undefeated the same way as you are. Like you probably feel in the last couple of years that your business is skyrocketing, like you don't have any issues, right? But you know, I know my chaos, Martin, and all of us have that in us, right? Like, I will party with the best of them. I got some good stories. If you ever want to hear them, we'll sit around a fire. You'll hear some wild shit, right? But, you know, for me, it's like, I don't want that anymore, man. Like, I want to dominate. Like, I can't help my clients. I can't help myself. Can't help my kids. I can't help anybody if I'm not who I need to be. So that is a powerful message that Dave just put out there. And like I said, you'll go to any of these conferences anywhere, and you'll hear them all talking about the same thing, but it'll build a routine, get healthy, do this. And it's like, you put it off and you put it off until eventually, you know, your health smacks you in the face, or hey, your money smacks you in the face. You say, hey, you're blowing money like crazy and stupid shit. And I've been there. Like you said, I I'm a wild motherfucker. But anyways, well, with that, man, Dave is actually going to be one of our speakers at Rocket X. I think we have a badass lineup put together. We're only like 28 days away or something like that if you're listening to this right now. If you guys haven't got tickets yet, it's May 1st through 3rd. It's going to be the event of the year. I got Rick Ross performing. I got some of the best owners, operators, sales trainers, motivators. Just everything that you could want out of an event is going to be there. I got guys that are 24 years old. I got $40 million businesses in the last five, they grew from the last 5 years. I got people in small markets that went from, you know, 200,000 a year to 8 million in a couple of years in a market with less than 100,000 people. These are the kind of people that are going to be there. And plus I got guys that are, I got Anthony Pereira who went from, you know, like 2018 to now he's got $280 million self-funded, no private equity. I got Wyatt Hempworth, who's on his pace to do $1 billion, right? He's over $500 million a year right now with Any Hour. These guys, like everybody from big to small, from all over different parts of the country, there's no excuses, right? Whatever the fuck you want to make happen is possible. Every one of these guys started with one truck, right? One dream, one opportunity, the same opportunity that everybody that's listening to this has. So get out to the event, go to callprofitrocket.com, get your tickets today. Don't miss out. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have a good time. And on top of that, like I said, the stage is cool, but the people that you meet outside the stage, meet at the after parties, meet, you know, walking in the hall. I picked a badass venue who literally can't go anywhere. We're all going to be in an ecosystem for 3 days. You're going to be somewhere around some of the best, you know, some of the influencers you've always wanted to meet, right? You've always wanted to rub shoulders with Tommy Mello. He'll be there. Dave will be there. I'll be there. Lance Bachman, freaking Ryan Stewman, just a bunch of different names you could think of, right? They're all going to be there. They're all going to want to help you. So go get your tickets. Don't hesitate. It's going to be a badass event. Come see Dave. Dave, question. If my audience wants to reach you, where do they go to either get a demo of what Dope Marketing does or how to reach you, start following?
We're on social, Dope Marketing or at dopemarketing.com. We got teams that are trained in specific verticals, strategies, CRM. So no matter what your business does, industry, vertical, how you're operating, big, small, like Vic said, anywhere in between, I'm the balding guy yelling and swearing about direct mail on the internet. If you type in Dope, you'll find us.
Hey, and by the way, we got some badass stuff coming with RP1 and Dope. So if you guys are on each of them, we're going to start working together on some pretty dope stuff. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube. We got a badass lineup in season 3. So thank you guys. Always love the support. I'll see y'all soon. Later, brother.